Good morning. It's good to be here today. I was singing that song today, this morning, My Jesus Knows Just What I Need. My life for the past 6 weeks has been very, very busy. It's been consumed with the passing of a dear sister, various concerts on Monday nights, Tuesday nights, Thursday nights, a 70th birthday party, a 50th wedding anniversary, preparing for graduation, juggling work, dealing with weather. I can't work when it's very high winds or the product that I put down drifts and kills plants. I can't work when it's raining. So dealing with the weather and juggling work is a real problem for me. I've been busy with the increasing workload that I have incurred. I have stupidly picked up a new customer and they require weed control. And it's 221 acres. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know why I said yes, but I did. I've been worrying about money. The van needs new tires. Got a boy going to college. I don't know what that's going to be. I don't know how much I'm going to have to pay. This time of year, we worry about our kids' grades because the end of the season, end of the school season, is close. And so you check the website, see where kids are at, make sure the kids don't have the summertime blues and they're not slacking. And so you gotta call them up and say, "Hey, kids, why you got a D here?" "Oh, well, there is no excuse." And so you worry about that. And I talked to you a little bit about juggling work and dealing with weather. Well, I'm always struggling with trying to make people happy. It's a blessing and a curse for me. It's one of the things that is my best attribute, is to make people happy. It's one of the things that makes me so good at my job, because I work so hard. Because one of the things that hurts me the worst is when a customer calls up and says, "Hey, I got a dandelion." Or they send me a text picture of a dandelion in their yard and they say, "What is this?" And I say, "I don't know, but it sure is beautiful." But I work really hard at making people happy. And I have all these stresses, and then of course you know that I developed a case called shingles. And all of these things have created a great amount of stress on me. And one day I was lamenting about my woes to my brother-in-law, Scott. I like spending time with Scott. Scott gives me a perspective on things that I hadn't thought about, or a perspective on things that I had forgotten about. And Scott, of course, says, "You need clarity, Kelly." Clarity. Clarity. I'm thinking, what are you talking about? Clarity. I've got all these problems. And he says, "Three things, Kelly. Three things are important. Faith, family, and friends." And as he's bloviating about the things that he bloviates about, I'm sitting there thinking in my head, faith, family, friends, faith, family, friends. And I'm thinking about this, and all of a sudden, something that I spoke about long ago come to my memory. Florence Chadwick, I don't know if you remember me talking about Florence Chadwick, but she was a woman who swam the English Channel. And she did it in record time. Great American swimmer. And she decides that her next feat is she's going to swim from Catalina to the shore of California. And as she's continuing to do so, and she's in the water, a big fog bank rolls in. And she can't see where she's going anymore. And she loses heart. And she's getting scared. And she doesn't think she's going to make it. And the people in the boat are encouraging her. Keep going, keep going, keep swimming, keep swimming. But she gives up. And as soon as she gets on the boat, she realizes she's a mile and a half away from her shore. The fog broke her concentration. So, as I do all the time, I get myself okay. And then all of a sudden, I'm back to the worrying. And it's nighttime and getting ready for bed, and I'm lamenting to my wife. Oh, the money. Oh, all these things that are going on. My customers juggling work. How am I going to pay for, I need to get a new sprayer. And a sprayer to spray 221 acres, if I bought a brand new one, is easily $50,000. How am I going to afford this? My cash flow is terrible right now. I got so many expenditures. Just on and on about all of these woes and these worries that I have. My wife calmly says, Matthew chapter 6, be a bird. Well, I didn't really listen to her. I kept worrying and getting upset. And as she says that, she goes back to reading her Facebook or reading her whatever she does on her phone, who knows. And the more she is doing that, the more frustrated I'm becoming. Because I'm wanting a pat on the back, I'm wanting a hug, I'm wanting whatever it is that I want to have her assurance. But what she really did was the most perfect thing to do. She gave me a snippet of what I needed to do. And as I calmed down, I read Matthew chapter 6 because I knew exactly where she was going with what she was saying. And I bring this lesson to you all, because I am not the only one who struggles with this. So I'm going to read Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. And Jesus says, "Do not store up yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If the eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." This scripture, after I read it, hit me like a ton of bricks. Aha! This is what everybody's talking to me about. And I started thinking about my treasure. What is my treasure? What is my treasure? What are the things that I consume myself with? You can tell a person where his treasure is by the things that he holds dear to him, by the things that he does. I treasure money. I go after money. I like money. Money buys me things. Money gives me comfort, and it also gives me a lot of stress. But why do I go after that treasure? Shouldn't I look to God for comfort? That's why God wants us to serve Him, so that we go after Him for comfort, not of things of this earth for comfort. So where was my treasure? My treasure was on money. How much was going out? How much was coming in? How much is this going to cost me? How much is that going to cost me? That's what I was worried about. The eye is the lamp of the body, it says. Started thinking about light and darkness. Have you ever been in a room where it's pitch dark, so heavy, you can feel it? I've been in those rooms. I know the sailors in this audience have been in those compartments that are that way. I know that they've been outside on the ship's decks in the middle of the night where there's no moon, no stars, no light, and the ship is in darkness because it doesn't want any other ships to see you. It is dark. It is heavy. There is no clarity in darkness. You're scared. You're not sure of what's going on. With darkness, there is no clarity. But with light, there is clarity. And who is the light? We find in John chapter 1 that Jesus is the light. Jesus provides us clarity. Remember the song, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see." Be careful about the things that you're looking at. Are they of darkness or are they of light? And if they are of light, then maybe you can see a little bit better. But if they are of darkness, maybe you're not seeing everything that's hidden, that is around the corner, that might be a pitfall for you. No one can serve two masters. This is talking about double-mindedness. My dad would tell me that I want my cake and eat it too. But verse 33 says to seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be given to you. If I seek first what God wants me to do, then everything that's important is going to follow. Now that doesn't always jive with what I want. There are a lot of things that I want that I have convinced myself are a need. But God knows. Father knows best, right? God knows exactly what I need. Just like the song says. Knows exactly what I need. Then we get to do not worry. The birds of the field reminded me of a sweet poem that a sweet dear sister gave me, Nora Lee. I'll read it. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I would really like to know why those anxious human beings rush around and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." Many times we like to take matters into our own hands, and we don't like to wait for the Lord. And we want to do things on our own. Things maybe do not go the way that we have them planned, so that we worry about them. And we try to make them go the way we want them to go, but they may not fit what God's will is. And then in verse 30, O you of little faith. Let's change some different words here so that we can understand what this says. O you of little trust. O you of little confidence. Let us think about that for a minute. Where is our faith? Where is our trust? Where is our confidence? Is faith faith when trials come and we give up our faith? How strong is that faith when the trials come? Do we really hold true? Or do we start to worry and think, oh, I've got to fix this because God must be sleeping on the job here. Nobody else is going to take care of this, so I got to take care of this. Isn't that a part of worry? What good is faith when it is strong only in times of good? Our faith is tested constantly and daily. And how we handle adversity shows the type of faith that we have. Maybe not to God. Maybe God already knows the type of faith that we have. But maybe it shows it to us. And as we think about James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, we think about that faith. We think about what the trials do. It matures us. It helps us to persevere. I would like to think of a couple of stories right now. Direct your mind to Matthew chapter 15. This is the story of the Canaanite woman. And I think I have enough time to read this. I would like to read it for you. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then the Lord answered, Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. I like thinking about this woman and her faith being tested. She was in the region where Jesus was preaching, and she heard of his miracles. She heard of the great things that he was doing. Just like you and me, we're like this woman. We've heard these wonderful things that Jesus has done. We've heard of him raising people from the dead. She's heard of them raising people from the dead. She's heard of him helping the lame to walk. There are countless things that Jesus did that are not in this book. And she heard of them. And her faith was great. And Jesus withdraws to this region. And he doesn't want to be acknowledged. He just wants a little downtime. And here comes this woman, begging and pleading and asking the Lord for help. And he ignores her. But being the woman that she is, the one that Solomon describes a nagging woman like a drop, just keeps dripping. She just keeps nagging at him. And finally, the apostles are like, Lord, get rid of this woman. Send her away. She's so annoying. And finally, Jesus does say something to her. He does say that he was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Remember, she was a Canaanite. The Canaanites were not at all loved by the Jews. The Canaanite nation was cursed. Cana was Ham's son, and he was cursed. Right from the get-go. Because Ham saw his father's nakedness. Now, I think there's some interesting thoughts about that, but we'll just not go there. But we just know at that point, that whole nation is cursed. The Jews hated them. God didn't like them. And here she is. She's coming to the Lord. But she has faith. And Jesus responds to her again and calls her a dog. He insults her. He hurts her feelings. But what does she say? She says, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table." What is she doing? Did she just give up? She kept persevering. She had faith that this man, this Jesus, was going to take the demon out of her daughter. Her faith did not waver. She knew that Jesus was going to take care of her. Even after Jesus may have hurt her feelings for a little bit. But this showed her faith. And it hits home to me. When times are tight, when times are tough, when the trials hit, when my feelings are hurt, I need to persevere. I need not to give up. Remember, I mentioned James chapter 1. I had it in the wrong place in my notes, but I would like to go there and I would like to read James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may become mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives it generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." We read something today in 1 Peter. It said, "Cast your anxieties upon the Lord because He cares for you." I got so wrapped up in the fog, I forgot to cast my anxieties upon the Lord. In Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, we have a very wonderful parable. It's the parable that man has called the prodigal son, or the lost son. Are we sure that that's the lesson that we're supposed to get from the prodigal son? You remember the story. The child goes to the father, says, "Father, I want my inheritance. I want to go off and do my own thing." Basically, well, when do you get your inheritance? Your mom and dad have to die, right? So what does he say? "Hey, Dad, I want you dead. Give me my money." That's what he's saying. What does his dad do? He gives it to him. Does he chase after him? "Oh, no, son, don't go. You can't go. You're too young. The world will eat you up." He doesn't say that. He lets him go. And his son goes and he squanders the money and he realizes that he would be better off being a servant with his father. Do you ever think that maybe the story is about faith? The father had faith in his son that he knew he was going to go off and he knew he was going to come back? I think that's an interesting story. And I think it's one that is a story of faith. That we should have faith in God that everything's going to work out fine. The father did the best he could with what he had, with the information that he had at the time. And if the child wants to go, you got to let the child go. And the child will learn. Eventually, he will learn. And what happens when he comes back? You don't have hurt feelings and say, "Nope, go away, you wanted me dead." You open your arms, give him a big smile, you give him a hug, you throw a party for him, you're glad he's back. Remember Matthew 6, 22 and 23. Faith is the light that brings clarity. When we're in the mire, when we're in the fog, that's when our faith needs to come to the forefront. That's when we need to have faith in Jesus so we can see the light, so that the light will shine on the path for us. Jesus is that light. John 1, 4 and 5. Going to close with Revelations 21, verses 6 through 8. He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To whom who is thirsty, I will give drink without cost from the spring of water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly will take their place in the lake of burning sulfur." I read this because we need to be strong. And when adversity comes, we don't want to faint. We don't want to fall down. We want to have faith. We want to have that faith that this woman had, this Canaanite woman had. Because she heard that Jesus will heal you. We need to have that same faith. I appreciate your time listening to me. I appreciate the lesson that God continues to send my way. It seems like all of my lessons are centered around the same thing. Perseverance. Keep on keeping on. But there's a lesson there for me. To remember. To keep persevering. To keep going. And that's important. And that's important to all of us. Because I know that I'm not any different than any of you. You guys all have the same insecurities I have. You guys have all the same problems I do. Well, maybe not all of them, but pretty close. That's why we need one another. That's why I'm so happy my wife said to me, "Be a bird." Matthew chapter 6. That's why I'm happy. Scott, talk to me about faith, family, and friends. I had a small little Bible study today with him, text messaging. I appreciate him. And hopefully someday through my example, I will be salty enough that he wants something more. That he wants to be a part of the body. And I think it's important for us all to remember not to shrink back once the pain comes, but that we persevere. I'm going to offer the gospel invitation. What this means is you've heard the word. You've heard what Jesus has done. You've heard the message. You've heard the greatest story of all. And you want to be a part of that life. And you want to be baptized. We're going to give you that opportunity as we stand and sing the invitation song.